Hey everybody, what's up? My name is Dan DeWire and welcome to episode 54 of the Vet to Biz Life podcast, where each week I interview the most inspiring veteran entrepreneurs. I share their stories, their experiences, their successes, and their challenges, all to improve your personal and business lives. Rob Brayman has a longstanding reputation as an entrepreneur. He has spent 15 years working directly with business owners to improve strategic planning, operations, growth, and business development. The birth of Cogent Analytics was etched in his decade-long participation within the business community as a senior business analyst representing the clients that Cogent now serves. Rob formed Cogent Analytics with the specific intent of bringing tools of better management, organization, and profitability to Main Street America's small to mid-sized businesses. Cogent's primary objective in every interaction is to put the interests of the client first. In support of that directive, Rob has crafted a culture of integrity, honesty, and transparency. He teaches that service to others. It is as the very core of the entrepreneur spirit and a foundational pillar at Cogent. The base of his value system started in the United States military, specifically the United States Army, right?
As yes, sir.
A man serving with Special Operations Command, Rob has a personal code of honor, courage, wisdom, faith, perseverance, and loyalty. That is what he demands of himself every day, and that is what he asks his employees to embrace. Rob has been personally engaged with over 1,700 businesses across the United States, working to further the interest of other business owners like himself. A husband of 20 years and a father of two, Rob's absolute commitment to family, community, his employees, and his clients is unwavering. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining me today.
Dan, truly a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me on the show today.
The pleasure is all mine. Please, you know, that was the Reader's Digest version of who Rob Brayman really is. So take a minute, you know, fill in some of those gaps and let us know a little bit more about your personal life.
I need to update that bio. I've been married now, as of this last weekend, 23 years. I have a lovely wife. Her name is Robin. And yes, it is Rob and Robin. So you can make whatever tweet joke you like out of that. I have two wonderful kids. I've got a son who's currently attending Virginia Military Institute, and my daughter is in engineering school with North Carolina State. So everything that we do, we're very insular family, and through the good Lord, support of my family, support of my wife, we've been able to do some pretty amazing things, I think, over the last 30 years of business. I don't know whether I can top that bio that you just threw out there. I'm humbled, and I work very, very diligently every single day to try to represent the American small business owner. I was in the military from 1984 through just about 1990. It was the foundation for many of the principles and values that I still deploy today in the running of Cogent Analytics. It was an augment to those family principles that my father and my mother instilled at me at a very young age. I lost my father when I was 15 years old, which is probably what had me choose a military path. When I got out of the military, I did what most people do, and that's you get your first job, and you learn that there's a transition from military life to civilian life. And from that transition in civilian life, then you learn that leadership in the civilian world doesn't necessarily work under the same military principles that we all came up under. But all of the principles of military leadership definitely apply to the civilian principles of leadership. So I hope I explained that well. This is my fourth company I've had the privilege of building in between from becoming a business analyst. It probably was what inspired me. I always say I worked for a firm that was more about the billable hour and without going too far down that road, did not align with my own personal principles and values and support that, you know, that American small business owners, I think they're likely the most underserviced group of professionals in our country. You may have an accountant and you may have an attorney, but in reality, operational professionals, people that can work with you on how to strategically plan or develop, how to either raise capital or position yourself in your marketplace, what types of products you're selling or how you're pricing or how do you develop a business development team. You know, to me, those are the things that are not readily available to small business owners. And that's the thing that I try to focus on with my team every day, is to make sure that the person who has the inspiration to take that leap in life, because small business ownership or entrepreneurship is not about working for yourself. Most often you are in service to those that work for you. And knowing how to make the right decisions, or getting counsel to make those right decisions, or having a support line to be able to challenge someone else or have that someone else challenge you in your strategic nature towards growing your company, most often is hard to find in today's world. So that's what my vision was when I started Cogent Analytics, and that's what we try to deploy every day for our clients.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, it doesn't take long to get from 20 years of marriage to 23 years of marriage. What's unique though is, you know, we spend X number of years in the military and we get away because of operational security reasons of not talking about work at home. However, I encourage most entrepreneurs today to keep your family informed on what's going on, because sometimes they don't understand why we're working such long hours. Congratulations to you on 23 years of marriage, but also congratulations to you on getting your two children off on a very good start at VMI in North Carolina State. I tell people our true legacy in life is not our job or our vacation, it's our family. And some people lose sight of that. We've worked for senior leaders who've lost sight of that, and today they have no relationship with their kids. In some cases, they're not even married. But you know, what ignited the spark in you to start Cogent Analytics as a business venture? How did the idea for your business come about?
When I was working for another firm that I alluded to, you learn very quickly in a consultative role or as an analyst that you may represent another brand, but at the end of the day, you represent yourself and your own core principles. And you open the show with something that I take very near and dear, and that's honor, courage, wisdom, faith, perseverance, and loyalty, which I believe is the tenets of strength and personal power, character. You know, when you work for somebody long enough, and I hope your audience will appreciate this humor, when you live in a pigsty long enough, eventually you only smell like one thing. And I decided that if I was going to represent clients, it had to be based on a vision that was about the client first. It was about their success, not my own. It was about seeing, you know, I have a service leadership mentality, Dan, that I take towards everything in life. And that service leadership, I think, was the inspiring moment for me, that if I was going to attach my name to something, I had to believe not just in how I was representing the clients, but when you're operating within a team that has been given the honor of representing others, then that entire team needs to be impeccable and true of spirit. So that's what motivated me to decide to open up Cogent Analytics. And I stay true to those things every day. You know, you have a lot of hardworking, honest, decent, honorable people in this world called entrepreneurs that, you know, the old adage says, hey, you get to work for yourself. Well, that's not true, right? Usually you're working for the government in the form of paying your taxes, or you're having to service your debt to the bank, or you're working for your employees, or you're working for your vendors. The entrepreneur's life is usually fraught with a lot of personal investment with very little return to begin with. And I love what you said about involving your family and your spouse into what's going on in the business, because it's an incredibly lonely place, and you cannot insulate yourself from those that care the most about you. And genuinely, that word of counsel, that soft moment between a husband and wife or a child that's old enough to understand where your family will most often carry you through the tough times. Because as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you well know, there are plenty of joys to be happy about, but there are plenty of challenges that are equally as trying.
No, I absolutely agree. And in fact, even in the case of my sons, you know, spending, you know, 3 years at war, and when I came home, I didn't talk about it because, you know, I didn't think they'd understand. Now that they're in uniform themselves, we have conversations with my oldest, who's in special operations, and my youngest, who's in Army communications. They understand the relevancy today, and those conversations are much more fruitful. Now, what motivates you when you get up every morning, when you come into the workplace at Cogent Analytics? You know, how have your entrepreneurial motivations changed since you first started?
You know, I'll share something with you that I've shared with my team, that it's a behavior that I've done for 30 years. And when I put my feet on the floor every single day, I say, what will I? And it's a very personal thing that I don't mind sharing because I've been sharing with my own team. I think in life, you have to challenge yourself every single day about how you bring a positive to that day. All right, what will I do today to affect a client? What will I do to affect an employee? What will I do to improve my business? What will I do today to be humble and in service? And that's something I've been doing, as I said, for 30 years, and it's a personal challenge. It's part of my routine I do every day, and it starts with what will I? And, you know, I think everybody that I've met that's been successful has a grouping of core principles that they live by. They are true to those principles, and they are most often regimented in those little things each day that start their day and prepare them for the challenges of the day. Mine happens to be, what will I? Because I think that's what inspires me.
No, I absolutely get it. You and I are a lot alike in many ways, I think, from our short conversation. I too, is always the person who either on my way to work or after you know, a full day of work and drive back at decompression, I would always focus on three questions. You know, how will I reinforce our values today? You know, organizations, high performing organizations, have values, and they have to be reinforced to be really realized across the organization. So, how do we reinforce those values in everything we do? Another question I would always be purposeful or intentional about is, you know, who do I need to connect with, right? Because as organizations grow, or if you find yourself as part of larger organizations, we have to be very intentional about our connections. And same thing with our clients, right? Because it's a relationship that has to mature over time. It's not, you know, we sign the client and do the Heisman and say, this is a you got it affair. You know, sometimes the support is so important. And then another question I always ask is, who do I need to say thank you to? You know, if we want to foster a culture of recognition, sometimes just those two words of thank you can go a long way in any organization. So, yeah, I get it. I like the what will I. It's a great example of self-motivation, but also great example of how your people can benefit from that motivation. Other than deciding to work for yourself, what was the single most important decision you've made to date that's contributed to your success?
I have worked tirelessly every single day to develop a team of individuals, both at senior leadership level down to the most junior young leaders. I probably spend most of my day focused on my young leaders that are coming up through my organization. But if I would tell you that something that consumes my day, and probably something that I advise clients on every day, is you have to give great consideration to who you're partnering with. And I don't mean partnering in an equity sense. I mean, when you are responsible for your employees, when you are truly in a leadership role, that partnership that is created between your employees and yourself in a leadership role is crucial to the success of organization, because first, your people have to believe in your culture. They have to believe in your mission. They have to believe that you're fighting for something greater than themselves. And they have to be able to commit to something and truly give their all. And I find that people do not commit themselves to that extent unless they believe that there is a true partnership between leadership and their role in the company. They have to be aspiring, right? When you bring people into your organization in the form of a new hire, most of you, the people that are listening, you know, vet to biz, these are entrepreneurs that are hiring people every day. They're trying to get the right people in the right chairs. They're building a culture. We will make hiring decisions day over day that most often you have about a 50-50 chance of success when you start that exercise. Even if you interview three times, even if you do the background check, even if you do the psychological profile, you never really know until you put somebody into the chair. And you have to make sure that both you have an effective fit from a skill set. You have to have a really critical is having an effective fit from a cultural standpoint, because the old adage of bad apple, you know, ruins the one bad apple ruins the barrel, has quite a bit of truth. If you're really focused on culture, and high performing organically grown companies are driven by a culture of success. And if you don't have that cultural fit, so two pieces of advice, I think, you know, when you ask me a question, I'll give two pieces of advice after a very long answer. Is one, don't be afraid to hire, do all of the right behaviors to get to a good decision. Once you make that decision, it's not, again, like doing the Heisman lap around, you know, with the flags in the air. That's really when the challenge starts, right? Because you got to make sure you've got full integration with that new hire, and that there's a clear understanding of both mission, direction, and responsibility, and that there's a clear understanding of those measurements that will hold them accountable. In that, you will likely be able to foster a competitive nature, a healthy competitive nature in your organization. And if you don't get that from a new hire, you have to be quick to look again. You know, I always say, put your line in the water again. If the fish doesn't need to be in the barrel, then you need to make sure you go fishing again. And sorry for the metaphor, but I think it applies.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Either as a new leader in an organization or an existing leader in hiring new people, one of the questions I would always ask them is, tell me what you do for the organization. It's not because I don't know the answer to that, but it's an opportunity for alignment, right?
Absolutely.
You know, they may have read some job description. You certainly know the job description or position description very well, but it's an opportunity for alignment. It's an opportunity for that leader to really tell that individual, yeah, I know what you've read, but this is what I really need for you to do, given your skill set. What do you consider to be your greatest strength as a veteran entrepreneur?
I go back to the principles of leadership. I aspire towards perfecting my skill every day. I don't think I'll ever be able to get to the point where I think I'm a subject matter expert in leadership, but I focus on that every day in our organization, and not just for myself, but as I alluded to previously, those young leaders coming up, to give them the same values that I received when I was coming through my military discipline to the point where I joined the civilian community. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have the privilege of service that end up in the civilian world through a normal course. They go off to college, they join the workforce. And in my experience, I think that companies do not focus as much on the principles of leadership and what that means and how to develop a staff. So not only do I focus on that internally, and it's a challenge that I struggle with personally every day, to aspire towards perfection. Although it's unattainable, I aspire for it every day, and I demand that from my people in the hopes that we achieve excellence. But really, the young leaders coming up is what I think I challenge the entire team to perfect. And it's an exercise that we go through on a very, very frequent basis.
Yeah, and these young leaders, I'm a firm believer that our tomorrow's very best leaders are great followers today.
But amen.
These young leaders are watching our behaviors, right? And I believe that leadership is both learned and innate. And you know, some of our your organization's very best leaders don't have a title or authority.
That's right.
But I don't believe that the best way to learn leadership, and that's why I say they're watching our behaviors, is observing leaders in their natural habitat and identifying those things you want to copy or emulate versus those things you certainly know never want to do, right? And that's the greatest challenge that you have today as a CEO or founder of an organization, is you have to be very intentional about looking out towards at other leaders of other organizations for that continued immersion, if you will, and opportunities to observe other leaders in their natural habitat. Because if not, we're just looking in the mirror every day. What's your greatest challenge at Cogent Analytics as a veteran entrepreneur?
You know, because we've grown, you know, we've made the Inc. 5000 twice, which is a measure of growth, right? When the Inc. 5000 awards you with that honor, it really is a growth metric and no more. So that just tells you that an organization is growing exponentially. I said to you earlier, I know that we'll make it a third instance in a row, and we're not yet at the end of the year. People have been the greatest dynamic challenge for Cogent Analytics, because if I hire the wrong project director and I put that wrong project director in front of a client, not only will it do damage to my brand, which is the secondary consideration, it harms that thing that I honor the most, called my client. So I'm very careful in our hiring practice. We are very quick to measure, re-inspire, realign, recalibrate, and make sure that we've got a high retention level with the people that we are hiring, with a real expectation of success and continual oversight and follow-up. Because left to their own devices, you know, if you hire a very talented professional and you put them in front of a client, you have to make sure there is, as you mentioned before, alignment and attainment, which is a tough thing to achieve in a fast-growing organization. You can quickly dilute the message. You can quickly dilute the culture. You can quickly dilute the quality or caliber of work performance. And I would say that we've been blessed in that we've been able to maintain growth without what I think is diluting our brand or diluting our service offering or diluting that thing that we hold truest called clients. But it is a challenge every single day, from hiring, developing, teaching, training. Somebody asked me last week, what are the three most important things to Cogent Analytics? You know, most people that answer that question say location, location, location. And I said, no, it's training, training, and training. So we are a train organization that has a very clear organizational mission towards how do we develop people to take on additional responsibilities and perform those responsibilities at a high degree of efficiency, and to feel inspired by doing those things. Again, I think it goes back to we fight for other people every day. And if that doesn't get you up in the morning, I don't know what does.
No, I love that. And you know, one of the things hitting that Inc. 5000 list for 3 years in a row is you could sit back and just be comfortable. But high performing organizations don't do that. And something else you hinted on that I really appreciate is the individual development of people. It pains me to obviously to go into different organizations, see that there's no succession planning in place. And typically when these leaders have no exit strategy, they're not developing people underneath them, right? I mean, succession planning, we learned that in the military, is paragraph 5 of every operations order, man. Rob dies, Dan's in charge. Oh my, you know.
That's right.
But it's so important. And what I find, and you sort of hinted on it, is that great leaders will hire people for organizational and cultural fit, which is sometimes hard to measure, and level of commitment with the idea that I can train the skills and provide the experiences for them to be successful. Poor leaders often take just the opposite approach. You know, they focus so much on their skills, knowledge, and abilities that you know, days, weeks, months go by, and other team members are coming to you and say, why'd you hire this guy or gal? They don't fit well into our organizational culture. you know, their level of commitment is suspect. So I really appreciate that. And what you highlighted is one of the greatest challenges of any growing organization is not departing from what got you here, right? So what's the best advice you've ever received in or out of uniform that contributes to your entrepreneurial success today?
Best advice. You know, I will give you this answer because it has stuck with me for a lifetime. I don't think it's been asked that way, and I don't know whether it answers your question. But, you know, it's not adversity that defines you. It's what you do next. And I have carried that with me for a very, very long time, and I think it applies to all aspects of life. You are, without question, especially as an entrepreneur, you are going to be faced with adversity. And there are two choices you can make at that point in time when adversity is defining the moment, is you can allow it to define you, or you can choose that it's the next behavior that is most important. And I would say that applies to anybody that puts on the hat called entrepreneur or small business owner is, you know, it's funny. Jocko Willink does this podcast called Good. And I showed that to my people. And you know, it's funny. I had a bunch of them come up to me after I made them watch it. And they're like, wow, that you guys are just alike. And you know, my whole principle in life is simple. You are going to get punched in the mouth, you know, one way or the other. Good, you know, life is going to impose itself on you. And reality is the character of any great employee, any great leader, any great business owner, any great friend is when the going gets tough, you put your shoulders back and you decide to motivate forward. And I think that's a personal choice. So that I don't know if that answered your question, but that's a personal belief.
What's a personal habit that contributes to your success every day? Are you a person of rituals? Do you have habits that contribute to your success every day?
Yeah, my wife should probably answer that question. I am very ritualized. I have a method to every morning. I am very I'm a driver analyst by personality, and which means I'm very calculated in everything I do. I don't do things without reason, and starting each day with from how I take my shower and get dressed in the morning, you know, the 3S ritual I do in the morning is oddly the same thing every day, to how I start my day, eat my breakfast, information or books I will consume first thing in the morning to start my day. That's something I do every day. If I get good content that is relevant to a discussion that I do every day with my troops, people, you know, we do a morning meeting every single day in Cogent Analytics, and that topic can range from business profit engineering or process engineering, and profit engineering to current events. And we usually open that dynamic, but that is I am very careful in how I approach each day, and those rituals I think are likely what contribute to my success. I don't want to throw myself too far under the bus, but I'm not OCD, but one could argue that I am very, very matter of fact and very process driven about how I approach and attack each day.
Yeah, and most successful people are. I mean, it takes time and it takes effort.
It's developed. Yeah, it doesn't start out that way. You have to develop good habits just like people develop bad habits. You just have to choose which habit you're going to choose.
If you were to pick one resource, and there are a lot of them out there, of course, we're using Zoom for the purpose of this podcast interview, but there's so many resources out there today. It's really noisy in some cases. To recommend to veteran entrepreneurs, you know, what would that resource be?
So I am I'm going to be completely selfish, and that's like a softball pitch right down the center of the plate. I'm going to say Cogent Analytics because we genuinely care about the people that we represent. If you were talking outside of my sphere of influence, there are a number of business tools that I think are critical to starting a small business. If you are looking to raise capital, there are a number of resources to be able to go about that. as far as professional advisory services that I think are honorable and ethical. There are planning groups available today in your local community in the form of SCORE. I mean, if you're first starting out and you're looking to investigate, there are SCORE is a group of retired professionals that are dedicating their time to startup businesses. If you're a more mature business, if you've made it past, you know, really year one, and you're looking for tools to insert, you know, from a business development standpoint, make sure you have a strong CRM where you're actually managing content information. And that gets into a much longer conversation that we can have on another day. If you're getting into the operational side, choosing your ERP system and how you handle information throughout your business from the point of sale all the way to bill to cash, which is when you're collecting your receivable. From an organizational standpoint, I would tell you that there are some really, really effective hiring tools that you should search out as far as best practice in how do you hire, how do you identify the talent, questions to ask. Do not do it by the seat of your pants would be my first piece of advice. Too many people get what I call outside counsel that is not legally sound or is not fiscally prudent. So make sure your advisor, A, has your best interest in mind, and B, make sure it's a well-vetted resource that you can feel confident that they know their subject matter as they're being able to advise you. And then lastly, good financial management is critical to any small business. It's too often, and we represent thousands of clients, right? When we see them that first time, they're in one of two states. Either they're a well-performing organization that's looking to get better, or they're a not-so-well-performing organization looking to turn things around. And both make for great clients because it goes to the spirit of the client themselves. When you walk in the door and you realize that their financial statement is 2 and 3 months old, in other words, it's the 20th, 19th of September, and I'm looking at June's financial statements. And I'll give you an analogy or a metaphor. That would be like playing a 16-week football season, and somewhere around week 7, you get to figure out whether you won or lost the first game of the season. That's no way to conduct good football game, and it darn sure isn't the way to be successful in your company. You have to have control over your financial metrics, both your balance sheet and your financial statement. And I hope everybody's listening very carefully. Profit is not a residual that occurs. It is something that is engineered. How much you make in your business is an engineered exercise that you do before you start selling. And we, again, can have a much longer conversation about profit engineering at a different time. But if you notice there, the disciplines, when you ask the question of the four key areas that I think are critical, I didn't want to key into one piece of software. I wanted to key into critical tools, regardless of the name of the software that you choose or the name of the tool you choose. I really wanted to answer that question with the principle of the four key areas that I think are critical to running a successful organization.
No, I appreciate that. Let's end today's powerful conversation with Rob Raymond's parting words of wisdom. You know, tell my listening audience, the Vet to Biz Life Nation, how they can connect with you and Cogent Analytics. And then let's spike a football in the end zone.
So first and foremost, we have a number of white papers. We have blogs. We have podcasts. Dan, you've been gracious enough to invite me in today. Our goal is to be thought leadership. So we do massive amounts of content that we put out to small business owners. We put out to people who are contemplating becoming a small business owner. We're trying to put people in a position where that information is available, whether they choose to make that next step and make a contact. Go to our website, invite us to contact with you. We will contact you immediately. Reach out to us vis-a-vis our phone number. That's 336-665-8154. You can ask for me personally. I will definitely take the call. You know, the key to small business, if you are going from a veteran to business owner, stay the course. Right? Understand what your values and culture are, build something based on your belief structure, and understand that all those leadership principles that you learned in your military life definitely have application in the civilian world. Those principles and core things that made us serve our country are the same things that will make you functionally successful in business.
Rob, on behalf of Vet to Biz Life Nation, you know, I thank you for taking some time today out of what I can imagine can be a very busy yet rewarding schedule and sharing who Rob Brayman is, who Cogent Analytics is, you know, the entire team, you know, where you've been, and importantly, where you're going. You know, I salute you and all you're doing to provide a great example for other veteran entrepreneurs and wish only you and your team the very best wishes going forward. Look forward to continuing this relationship over the years.
Sir, this was a great privilege. Thank you for having me today.
I hope you enjoyed episode 54 of the Vet to Biz Life podcast. As always, I'm grateful that you joined us today, and I hope that you enjoyed the stories, experiences, successes, and challenges that Rob Brayman of Cogent Analytics had to share. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with your friends and encourage them to subscribe to the Vet to Biz Life podcast to ensure that it's waiting for them every week. Lastly, do me a huge favor. If you joined us today and this was an episode that you really enjoyed and got value from, I want to encourage you to get on over to Apple Music, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher and share the podcast with your friends, your circles, your audiences, and also take the time to subscribe to it, rate it, and review it. This is a difference maker for us. We want to get this valuable content out to as many people as possible, and you rating it makes a huge difference in helping get the word out. Have a great week. I'm out of here.